Chapter 1. The Substance Channel. It must have been a dream. That was the only explanation Eric Rex could think of for what had just happened. Yes, a nightmare. That's what it was. 13-year-old Eric blinked a few times, waiting for his bedroom to appear. It did not. In fact, his skin still looked disturbingly green. And his fingernails, were they shrinking before his eyes? They hadn't really been long claws a moment ago, had they? After waiting another minute, Eric squeezed his eyes shut, wishing he was anywhere else. The sad fact had sunk in. He was not in bed after all. He was lying on his back in Fork-Out Grocery. Heaps of sparkling pink notebooks and toppled stacks of diaper boxes were scattered all around him in a big mess on the floor. At first he thought he was covered in snow. Then he saw the slashed boxes. Torn white fluff from shredded Lil Dumpling diapers covered everything around him like a Christmas display. But who would have shredded the diapers all over like that? He ran his hand through his dark hair, which was straight in front and wildly curly in the back, shaking diaper fuzz from his head. Then Eric noticed grey dust sprinkling down from a black, charred hole in the side of a nearby case of spaghetti boxes. It looked like someone had blasted it with a flamethrower. Who could have come in here and done this? Someone really ransacked this place. Eric gulped as a realization dawned on him. If he truly was here, in the grocery store, and he had not been dreaming, then maybe... Could he have done all this? This was not good. A little girl stood staring at him, her lip trembling. She tugged on her mother's skirt and pointed at Eric. The mother glanced at him with disgust, as if he was a delinquent who made a mess of store displays for fun. Eric wished that were true, because what really happened was far worse than a bout of bad behaviour. What had just happened, in fact, should never have occurred here, in New Jersey, in plain sight of normal people. Eric hid his eyes with a diaper fluff-covered hand. He had to face the facts. He had begun to turn into a dragon. His adopted siblings had seen it too. All five of them had been swarming around the grocery store, dumping unhealthy sugared products into their adoptive mother June's cart faster than she could take them out. Danny and Sammy, 13-year-old twins with sandy brown hair, and Nell, 11, had watched Eric grab hold of a shelf when his head began to spin. 9-year-old red-headed Trevor had popped around the corner just as Eric's vision faded out. And Zoe, just 5, with wild blonde curls and hazel eyes, was staring at him when he woke up on the ruined store display. But it was what happened in between his vision fading and waking up among diapers that made Eric's heart race. He'd had a cloudy thought. Cloudy thoughts were what Eric called the strange commands that took him over at times, forcing him to do whatever they said. His whole life he'd had to deal with being overcome when he least expected it, with orders appearing in his head. Cloudy thoughts made him do things like run to the bottom of a staircase and hold his arms out. He would feel like an idiot crouching there, but then a little girl would tumble down the stairs into his arms. He would have saved her without even knowing she was coming. Cloudy thoughts had also saved his own life many times, giving him extra strength and telling him what he needed to know to survive. But things changed. Eric inherited first one, and then the other eye, of his dragon friend Eoquest, who died saving Eric's life in a battle. The dragon eyes were now attached to the back of his own eyes, and carried special powers that he looked forward to discovering. The first one made his cloudy thoughts more intense, with visions like premonitions. But this was his first cloudy thought since he had gotten 2 dragon eyes, and it was different, more powerful than any he'd had before. Eric took a breath. What had just happened to him in the grocery store? Right when he picked up a carton of his favourite cookies, chocolate spring balls with cherry centres, everything had turned green. His eyes had swiveled around so that his dragon eyes were facing forward. His mind seemed to race through time so fast he couldn't make out what was happening. He remembered grabbing the metal shelf for support. Then the vision in his head slowed down and showed him something terrible. His best friend, Bethany Cleary, was in danger. Thick white ropes and webs hung in the air. Bethany was panting, long dark curls plastered against her sweaty face. She was backed against a wall, trapped. She had been running away from three boys, one with white fuzzy hair covering his head and neck, another with an odd grey cap that stuck high over his head, and a third with black hair and an evil glint in his steely blue eyes. Now she was cornered. Eric gasped. It was Dolic, Damon, and Bela Stain. They were the triplets working with evil Prince Bascania to overthrow the kingdoms of the Keepers, the unseen magical realms connected to ours. Eric had been amazed when he found the strange place, and more shocked to learn he had been born there, in Olypium. Bela Stain pointed what looked like a normal television remote control at Bethany. Her body stiffened as she was magically lifted from the ground. A shadow appeared, morphing into a tall man with silver-grey hair that grew into a sharp widow's peak. A cold blue eye peered from his face with a dark gap marking where his other eye should have been. Today, his forehead was wider than the rest of his face. Across it gleamed seven more eyes, each from a different former owner. It was Thanatos Argus Bascania, the Shadow Prince, as his followers called him. A smirk snaked across Bascania's face.
Ah, Bethany Cleary, daughter of the great seer Ruth Cleary. Too bad she had to go so young, too, eh?
His voice sounded like nails on a chalkboard, making Eric's bones shiver. Bethany glared at him, unable to speak or move.
But Ruth was in my way, just like your friend Eric, Bascania cackled. Soon he will join your mother and you, along with everyone else who is an obstacle to me.
Eric filled with rage as he watched the horrifying vision unfold. He clawed the air around him, vaguely aware that his skin was turning scaly and green, and claws were sprouting from his fingers. Bethany looked furious. She struggled with her invisible bonds. Bascania sucked in his breath.
Well, the fates have smiled upon me at last. I was fascinated to hear the secret you just told your friend. So you hold the key I have been searching for.
His voice lowered to a whisper.
Somehow, you will teach me how to use the final magic. Control over everything I desire. Life and death. Amazing.
He smiled, the corners of his mouth twitching.
If I can't find the answers I need from torturing you alive, I'm sure I will discover them when I remove your brain.
Eric roared in fury at the image in his head. He lost control, thrashing and clawing. Something hot came out of his mouth. It made him feel better for a moment, but not for long. A rope spun out of Bascania's palm and wrapped tightly around Bethany.
Say goodbye to the world, Bethany Cleary. You'll be safe in my fortress for the remainder of your short life.
He snapped his fingers. Bascania, Bethany, and the Stain triplets disappeared. That's when Eric opened his eyes into the white diaper fluff, the would-be snow of Forkout Grocery. Nell appeared at Eric's side with the help of her walker.
Eric, you...
She pointed at the charred hole. Black strands of spaghetti poked from the boxes around it.
Fire came out of your mouth.
Eric stared at the boxes. He had breathed fire?
But how?
Eric shook his head. So this was what his dragon eyes were doing to him? Turning him into a dragon?
He shouldn't be here, in Upper Earth.
If people saw him shooting fire here, they'd lock him up. He gulped, thinking about what he had just seen happen to Bethany. Had she already been captured? Did Bascania really find out her secret? That somehow she carried the key that he could use to learn the final magic? Bascania not only wanted to rule the kingdoms of the Keepers, but he also owned huge megacorporations all over the non-magical world and led a political movement trying to take over the United Nations. If Eric had not stopped him, Bascania would have taken over the kingdoms already and destroyed them. That was reason enough for Bascania to want to kill Eric, but he also craved Eric's dragon eyes for himself. What Bascania wanted most of all was to learn the final magic, magic so powerful that nobody could ever stop him. King Peter, ruler of Olypium, had told Eric that the final magic would make Bascania lose control and destroy the world. Eric froze. His cloudy thought wasn't over yet. A message filtered into his mind that told him the rest of what he needed to know. Bethany was not captured yet. Bascania had not found out her secret. But he would. Eric's vision would come true, and Bethany would die, if he didn't get to Olypium immediately and stop his friend Oscar Felix from ruining everything. Panic seized him. How would he ever get there in time? He knew that in just 3 hours, Bethany would tell Oscar the secret, one that nobody should ever know about her. And somehow, because of this, only 3 minutes later, she would be captured by Bascania and would die.
Mom!
Eric snarled between gritted teeth.
We have to go now! Buy the food later!
He took a breath. Maybe she didn't understand.
I'm telling you, Bethany is in danger. I have to get there fast. I don't think I'm going to make it in time.
June nodded, but kept putting groceries onto the conveyor. She glanced around to see if anyone was listening, then said,
Relax, Eric. I'll get you there as soon as we get home.
But, Mom!
He wanted to yank her out the door.
It takes time to catch a train to New York, and to get to Fess Station. Then I still have to take the artery there, and then find Bethany, wherever she is. We have to go now.
June tossed a box of Flying Count cereal onto the counter, her brown hair pulled into a ponytail. The cashier lazily scanned cracker boxes and put them in a bag. She seemed to be moving in slow motion. June said,
I understand, Eric. That's why I'm going to get you there immediately. As soon as we get home. Just let me pay for this. You'll have plenty of time. How can I get there immediately? It'll take hours.
Frustration filled him. She just didn't get it. June looked around and then whispered,
I have a way to get you to Olypium straight from our house.
But Eric's breath caught. He knew his mother was not supposed to perform magic in Upper Earth. If she did, the wrong people might find her again. Normally, he would never want her to do that, but Bethany would die if he didn't get there right away. She noticed the look on his face.
What's wrong? I thought you'd be happy that you don't have to go through Fess Station.
Eric shrugged.
There's no choice. You're right. You'll have to send me there by magic. I just worry about you getting caught.
June smiled.
But I won't be doing magic. I got a new Vulcan product that will take you. They're not trackable.
Eric's mother had bought things before from a store called Vulcan, in the Kingdoms of the Keepers. Strange things like an alarm clock and toothbrush that acted like they were alive. Well, Eric thought, whatever this new thing was that June had bought, it had better work, and fast. After paying the cashier, they walked through the parking lot, zipping up jackets against the chilly January air. A heavy-set woman with dark hair, a very white face, and too much makeup bumped into Danny right as they were leaving. She turned her head away quickly before Eric could get a good look at her. Danny looked up and said,
Oh, excuse me.
But she was gone. In the car, Danny and Trevor played keep away with an apple. Danny made Trevor list statistics of his favorite sport, spring ball, each time he caught it. That was easy for Trevor, until Zoe intercepted the apple and ate it. Eric barely noticed what was going on around him. All he could see was a scene from the future where Bascania captured the best friend he ever had. June pulled a small silver ring out of a box.
Amazing, she said. Hard to believe this could actually work.
Eric raised an eyebrow.
It better.
The little shining band did not inspire confidence.
Don't worry, June said. Vulcan products always do what they're supposed to. It'll be interesting to see what happens. This,
she held out the ring,
makes a substance channel. The ring carves a wormhole into the substance around us, and it can take you anywhere. You direct it as you go.
She turned the ring over and frowned.
Well, you should be able to understand this better than anyone else. You can see the substance when your dragon eyes are out.
Eric nodded. His dragon eyes let him see the nets and webs that carried channels of magic all over and through the earth. June rubbed the ring in her hands until it began to glow. Then she pulled, stretching it until it was bright and thin, like a glittering hoop for a circus animal to jump through.
Ouch!
June jerked her hands away from the ring. It hung in the air, glimmering.
She rubbed her hands together.
That felt like an electric shock.
Eric pointed into it.
Am I supposed to climb through there?
Suddenly the ring began to spin. Soon it was whirling so fast there was no way Eric could go near it. He was afraid it would slice into him if he touched it. The faster the loop swirled in the air, the wavier it looked. Instead of a circle, it became ripply, glowing as it grew until it was Eric's size. Then it stopped suddenly and hung still. It was round again, but now it pulsed with greenish light.
Eric carefully put a hand through the ring. An invisible force pulled his fingers, as if to guide him in.
You're supposed to think of the place you want to go while you're in the substance channel,
June said.
Focus on it, and let me know you got there okay.
Sure, Eric said. After I find Bethany, I'll email you on the magic net.
Okay. I can always check on you with my seeing eyeglasses.
June had a pair of glasses that let her see whoever she missed the most anywhere they were. For a while, the glasses had been stuck on their alarm clock. June had to send the clock to a Vulcan store to get them removed. Eric put his arms through the ring, then he slid his head through. Instead of coming out the other side into the room, he was surrounded by darkness. Before he knew it, he was sucked into space. It was a strange feeling, floating on nothing in the blackness. He was hanging in stillness, and he didn't seem to be going anywhere. How much longer before he would arrive?
Then Eric realized he had not given the substance channel any directions. Elypium. He focused his mind on it. He had to get to Elypium, fast. Suddenly he felt himself whizzing through space. It was as if a tunnel were being carved around him as he went. Relief surged through him. Good. He would get there soon and find Bethany. But where in Elypium was she? And how would he find her? Then a thought occurred to him. Maybe the substance channel would take him straight to Bethany if he concentrated on her instead of a specific place. He thought about Bethany, saying her name in his head. Take me to Bethany Cleary. He thought about her tanned face, her dark, wavy hair. Then his head filled with the image he had seen of her in the future, frozen against a wall, ropes around her, scared, helpless, about to die. Please, he begged the substance, get me there fast. The memory of his cloudy thought haunted him. The man he hated more than anyone in the world was going to hurt Bethany, the one who had killed his dragon friend Eoquest. Eric pictured Bascania, seven eyes across his forehead, standing before Bethany, ready to torture and kill her because he thought she had the secret of the final magic. Eric felt a jerk, as if he suddenly had shifted direction. He was yanked sideways, then thrown into the light on a hard floor. When he looked up, the ring, hanging in the air above him, vanished. He dusted himself off, relieved. He was indoors, but this place did not look like the castle Elypium. It wasn't a shop, either. The room he was in was large. The air was thick and hard to breathe, but then again he always felt this way when he first arrived in the kingdoms of the Keepers. He had to get used to it. A group of people stood nearby. They were all looking at him. But only one of them stepped forward and smiled. The one with seven eyes across his forehead.